So open your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, when we talk about the Advent, we're talking about the arrival or the coming of the God-man Jesus Christ into this world to save us from our sins. Now, when we read most often about the Advent in the accounts of the birth of Jesus in the Gospels. But actually, the Advent is explained and mentioned all the way through the New Testament. In fact, Jesus, at the very end of his life here in John chapter 17, is praying to the Father. And as he prays, he thinks about that moment. He reflects upon that moment in eternity when the Father decided to send his Son into the world. This is a great prayer that Jesus prays, beginning in verse 13 of John chapter 17, where he says, "Father, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And then these verses: "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." You know, one of the most popular candies this time of the year is M&M's. And you may wonder, well, where does that name M&M's come from? Well, it starts with a man by the name of Forrest Marr, who grew up in a candy-making family. Forrest Marr's father invented the Snickers bar. Now, that deserves sainthood, in my opinion. Amen. He invented the Snickers bar. Well, Forrest Marr went on a tour of Europe to learn about the candy-making business, and he happened to be in Spain during the Spanish Civil War. And there he noticed that they placed in the rations of these Spanish soldiers little chocolate pellets that were coated in a hard candy shell so that they melt in your mouth, not in your hands. And so, he was inspired by this, and in 1940, he moved back to the United States, and he partnered up with a man named Bruce Murray. And they began to produce this candy that was inspired as Forrest Marr visited Spain, and he saw these little tiny chocolate pellets covered in a hard candy shell. And they branded their candy M&M after their names, Marr and Murray. But they were also fortunate enough to be able to get the contract with the federal government to put M&Ms in the rations of all of the servicemen as they were sent around the world. And so all of these thousands and thousands of servicemen became addicted to M&Ms. And that's why they're still so popular to this day. Now, I tell you that story not so that whenever you eat an M&M or see an M&M that you will remember Mr. Marr and Mr. Murray. I tell you that because I want you to think about two other M's, two missions, Jesus' mission and our mission. You see, that's what he talks about in his prayer. This is what he prays about in John chapter 17 and verse 18, where he says, "Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Now, Jesus understood that there was an origination to his mission. He says, "Father, you sent me. You sent me." And so Jesus understood that he was on mission from the Father when he came into this world. He was coming on mission for the Father. My wife collects nativity sets. They are all over our house. Some of them are large, some of them are small. They come from all over the world. And we even have one displayed, a lighted nativity scene displayed in our front yard. Now, I want to just challenge you, every time you see a nativity scene, or every time you hear the story of the birth of Christ being read from the Gospels, of Joseph, reading of Joseph, learning that Mary is with child, having conceived a child by the Holy Spirit, when you hear that Mary heard from the angel that she had the assignment of giving birth to the Messiah, when you hear about the journey to Bethlehem, when you hear about Jesus being born in the manger in Bethlehem, that you are witnessing the advent, God stepping into this world. And as you look at a nativity scene, that you will be looking through a window back into eternity past, where we see the broken heart of God for lost humanity. Every time you see a nativity scene, would you just think about that? That you are looking through a window into eternity past. That it just didn't start with Jesus being born. It starts all the way back with the broken heart of God for lost humanity. And so Jesus understood something about the origination of his mission, but he also understood the destination of his mission. He said, "You have sent me into the world. That's the destination. And from eternity, God looked and saw inside this globe of time and space. He saw our need, and so he sent his son into that sphere, into that globe, into that world, to save us from our sins. Now, when Jesus talks about the world here, he's not talking about the planet. He's talking about people, specifically people who are associated with a world system that is opposed to God and set against God and separated from God. And it is into this sin-infected world that the Father sent the Son. So there was the origination of his mission. There is the destination for his mission, but then also there's sanctification for his mission. Because you notice he says in verse 19, For them I sanctify myself. Now that word sanctified is a big religious word, and yet it is a powerful word. It means to be set apart. It means to be dedicated to the purposes of God. It means to be set apart for obedience to God and service to God. And Jesus said, "Father, I'm giving every fiber of my being for you to use. My whole life is set apart for you." That's what Jesus meant when he said, "I sanctify myself." That is, he went to the cross. He suffered and died there, completely devoted in every fiber of his being to fulfilling the Father's purpose for his life. So there Jesus prays about his mission. But he also prays about our mission. He says in verse 18 again, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So as followers of Jesus, you and I cannot separate our mission in life from Jesus' mission in life. Remember, the M and the M go together. His mission is our mission. And unfortunately, we don't always get it. The other day, I was in a supermarket. I was pushing a shopping cart, and I was having trouble pushing it. It wasn't rolling very smoothly, and I stopped and I looked down, and one of the wheels was turned in the wrong direction. You see, it's really hard for a shopping cart to roll smoothly when one of the wheels is cut in the wrong direction. And now just think about that. How can God use us? How can we join him in his mission when the direction of our life is counter to where he is going? And so we struggle with this, don't we? To where our lives need to be lined up with the mission of Jesus so that he can do his work through us. And so as it was for Jesus, it is for us. There was there was an origination for his mission, and there is an origination for our mission. Jesus said, I have sent them. So the Father sent the Son, and the Son sends us. In fact, after his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus would remind them of this. In John 20, 21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So there's an origination to our mission, but there's also a destination to our mission. In verse 18, he said, I have sent them into the world. Now remember, when Jesus talks about the world, he's not talking about the planet. He's talking about people. People who are associated with a world system that is set against God, separated from God. Now, it is into this world that we are sent. And yet that's the challenge for us, because we feel the impact and the influence and the pull of this world, don't we? It's hard for us not to be influenced by the ways of the world. And so that's why Jesus in his prayer prays about our relationship with the world. Now just notice what he says. Beginning in verse 6, he says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So that when you and I are saved, we are saved spiritually out of the world. So that we're no longer in allegiance to the world. Now we're still in the world, and our mission is still in this world, but we are not of the world. Notice verse 11. He said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. Now, why do we need protection? We need protection because in this world, the world knows that we're not associated with them. We're not in allegiance to this system, to these attitudes and the values and the philosophies of this world. And so just as they hated Jesus, this world will hate us. We can't expect to go through this life and to live among people without feeling resistance to the life of Jesus within us. They hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. And that's why we need protection. And so he says in verse 14, he continues to pray, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. They are not of the world any more than I am in the world. And again, this is the struggle for us, isn't it? Because we know that our mission is in the world, but we are not of the world. So how do we live out our life faithfully to the mission of God without being engulfed and swallowed up by the world? Look at verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And here's the challenge for us. It's like the people who are fighting Ebola down in West Africa. How do you engage with patients without being infected by them? They need protection. And that is true for us. Jesus has called us out of the world. We are no longer in allegiance to the world. We're no longer aligned with the ways of this world, but our mission is in the world. So how do we engage in the world without being infected by the philosophies and the attitudes of this world? We need the protection that only God can provide. And that's why he prays that we would be kept from the evil one. And so Jesus understood our origination, the destination of our mission, but also we have a sanctification for our mission, just like Jesus did. Look at verse 19. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So Jesus was sent, we are sent. Jesus sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified. Now, the sanctification, now listen carefully here, the sanctification of Jesus is different from our sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart. It's akin to the word holy. God is holy because he is different. He is other than. He is set apart. He's distinct. So to be made holy or to be sanctified, sometimes I like to use the word holified, To be sanctified means that we are set apart. And Jesus was this by his very nature. He was and always will be holy God. But sanctification for us is different. Because we are not holy. Something has to be done to us in order to make us useful to God. To set us apart that God can use us in obedience and in service. And so that's why Jesus sanctified himself when he devoted every fiber of his being to suffering for our sins. He was sanctified so that we could be set apart and used by God. Do you see that? Jesus died to make you useful to God. That's why you're saved. That's why he's called you. And so, as we think about that, I want to give you three ways that you can respond to this. Three ways you can respond to this truth that his mission is our mission. The first one is, you can jot these down, dare to get out of your comfort zone. Dare to get out of your comfort zone. Now just think about how Jesus did this. When he left the glories of eternal heaven, what he set aside his privilege, he set aside his position, his place, his power, and took on a limited human body. You're talking about stepping out of one's comfort zone. So Jesus in the incarnation did that, and that's exactly what we are to do. We are to step out of our comfort zone and move into circles that we may not feel all that comfortable. So let me just ask you this. In light of what Jesus has done, how does it change the traffic pattern of your life? How does this affect the way you spend your vacation time or your leisure time? How does this affect your vocational plans? How does this affect the way you spend your money? Knowing that his mission is your mission and that every part of our life is to be set apart, sanctified for his use. It means his mission. So dare to get out of your comfort zone. The fact is that we are so engaged in keeping our lives comfortable and convenient that it's going to be hard for us unless something changes for us to be a part of God's mission in this world. Next, care. Care about the spiritual condition of the people that you encounter. You see, this starts with the heart of God. Remember, when we look at a nativity scene, what are we doing? We're looking through a window into eternity past. We're seeing the broken heart of God for lost humanity. And what you see happening in Bethlehem's manger is just the tip of the iceberg after hundreds and hundreds of years of preparing to send the Messiah. In the fullness of time, he came. But he came with a broken heart. Do you care about the spiritual condition of the people around you? Just stop about think about the people that you're going to encounter at work, at school, at home, in your free time. Do you know about their spiritual condition, whether they're saved or lost? Do you care about their spiritual condition? And listen, this is not just about the people we know and the people we see. Because you see, surrounding us in this room today are flags representing the nations. And so we're responsible not just for the people we know and the people we see, but we're responsible for the people we may never see and whom we may never know. But we're called to be Great Commission Christians who will take the good news and make disciples of all nations, going to the ends of the earth. And so we have to be concerned. We have to care about the spiritual condition of people in other parts of the world, like the Indian people group, the Ramah Kshatriya. A couple of years ago, we adopted this people group. A people group is basically an ethnic group, a tribe, if you will. We had a hard time even locating them. There were about 1 million of them, mostly living in Western India, the western part of the state of Karnataka. But now we've located them. And now we have a church planter and an evangelist working among them. And so we are praying for the Ramashek Tria. That is, they're called an unreached, unengaged people group because they're less than 2% of them have heard the gospel or are believers. And in this case, there are just a handful of those 1 million are believers. Most of them have never heard the gospel. And we have just the beginnings, as far as we know, just the beginnings of the first church to be planted among them. There's a believers group gathering. And so we're concerned about this pocket of people over on the other side of the world, but that's the way it should be. So we pray for them and we give for them to hear through our World Missions offering and our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And our ministry budget, which has a large portion of it dedicated to missions around the world. We are giving so that people around the world can hear. We care about the spiritual condition of other people, and we're praying for them. But the last thing, we dare to get out of our comfort zone, we care about their spiritual condition, and we share the good news that Jesus can transform lives. You see, Jesus, when he came into this world, he came with words. In John 17:14, Jesus said, "I have given them your word." Jesus didn't just come. He came speaking. He came preaching. He came witnessing. And as we are about our mission, as we are sent, as he is sent, we come with words, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Can I just ask you, when is the last time you had a conversation with someone about their relationship with Jesus? Do you know how to explain to them how they can be made right with God? Can you take the time to walk through the gospel with them? You see, it's not enough just to dare or to care. We have to share. At some point, we have to speak. You know, this Christmas season, many of us are going to travel to other places to be with family and friends. We're going to be in circles of people at parties, friends and family members and coworkers. And as you are in those circles, would you think about this? Would you think about what happened to this man in Luke chapter 8? There we read about Jesus encountering a demon-possessed man. I mean, this man's life was a twisted mess. He was so out of control that he had to be restrained, he had to be chained and under guard constantly. He's institutionalized. And yet Jesus confronted this man and confronted his demons. And he was miraculously delivered. Now when that happened, people could hardly recognize, after Jesus had changed him, they could hardly recognize this man. And the man obviously wanted just to hang around with Jesus. But Jesus told him to do something in Luke chapter 8 and verse 39. And I want to suggest to you today that this is a mission statement for all of us this Christmas season. Jesus said, "You return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Wouldn't that be a great mission statement for us this Christmas season as we move about in parties and travels and everything else? Go home and tell them what great things God has done for you. You know, that's the reason your heart is still beating today. That's the reason I'm still alive, that I'm taking breaths. It is because God has a mission. There's a lot of things we can do in heaven. One thing we cannot do in heaven is witness to lost people about Jesus Christ. That's the one thing we'll not be able to do in heaven other than sin. And so the reason you're alive today is so that you will have the opportunity to do what Jesus sent you to do. Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in your love and mercy and grace, you came to us sent your Son into our sin-sick world to give us life. And Lord, I pray that we as followers of Jesus will never forget that His mission is our mission. And Lord Jesus, that we will hear You saying again, "Peace be unto You, as the Father has sent Me, so I am sending You." That we will understand that that is the very reason we get up in the morning. It's not to go to work. It's not to make a living. It's not to enjoy life. It is to be on mission with You. Lord, I pray that You'll find us engaged in that every minute of every day. In Jesus' name, amen.